You're listening to The Chain, a science podcast where we bring what is new in biologics and protein engineering to the community of scientists working in the field. We discuss the latest developments with leaders who are on the front lines of cutting-edge research.
Good morning. My name is Christina Lingham. It's great to have you here for an episode of The Chain. I'm here with Mish Gera, who is head of biologics at Mythic Therapeutics. Mish, thank you so much for being here with us today.
Thank you for having me here.
So tell us about yourself and Mythic Therapeutics.
Yeah, like you mentioned, Christina, I'm the head of biologics at Mythic Therapeutics. I've been at the company for 4 years now. I was actually the first employee and the scientific co-founder of the company. My company works on cancer biologics, and we attack cancer by using antibody drug conjugates. So my work is focused on developing the antibody for those antibody drug conjugates, and my team focuses exclusively on antibody engineering and candidate selection.
Wonderful. How did you become involved with bispecific antibodies?
That's an interesting question. So I have to go back to my grad school days. So my PhD work was engineering a small protein using E-surface display. And interestingly, this small protein was engineered on its flat beta sheet. And we created a library to generate binding proteins to a lot of different antigens. And if you know, in the antibody field, antibodies have these loops that are hypervariable that are generally mutated. But in my case, for this protein, we had mutated the beta sheet and were able to generate a lot of binding proteins. So then the question came, what if we also mutated the loops of this protein? So that's when we first started thinking about bispecific antibodies. I did some work during my grad school days that didn't get published, but I got the taste of how I would generate a molecule that can bind two things at the same time. What are some of the properties, some of the things that I need to keep in mind when doing that? So that was really my first time working with, I would say, bispecific proteins. But as I came into industry, my first job was where we really started working on bispecific antibodies. So that's sort of the history around how I started working on bispecific proteins and antibodies.
And how has the field of bispecifics changed since you started working on it?
Yeah, it's changed a lot because I started working on bispecifics, I would say around 2010, when none of the bispecific molecules were approved. And today we have three approved molecules. So, it really has become a clinically validated modality where we have three approved drugs and hundreds of molecules right now in clinical trials. More and more drugs are getting close to the finishing line, and we're learning a lot about how this modality performs in the clinic. We are, learning about toxicities that are associated with it. We're learning about the differences between what we saw preclinically versus clinically. And, we're also learning about how to manufacture these molecules. So I'm very excited about the field, and it is only going onwards and upwards from here.
Yeah, so it's very exciting. So that's a good segue to my next question. How did the developability topic come out?
Yeah, thank you for bringing that up. That, as you know, is one of my favorite topics. Developability really came into being for monospecific antibodies around the 2010s, right? I mean, this is when a lot of work was focused on antibodies that were coming from phage display libraries, and then people were looking at correlations between antibodies that get approved and antibodies that are discovered early on. And, we saw a lot of activity in conferences around that time around developability. Eventually, in the 2017, we had the seminal paper published from Adimab around developability of antibodies. So people were focused a lot on monospecific antibodies. But as you know, bispecific antibodies are even more complicated than monospecific antibodies. Of course, you want to make sure that the antibody that you start with or so-called parent antibodies that actually make your bispecific have good developability properties. But sometimes when you format things into a bispecific, it completely changes its behavior, both functionally and biophysically. And this was an area that I thought was a little bit underappreciated, as bispecific antibodies were really coming into being. Most of the focus, and rightly so, was on their functionality and their activity so that we can get more bispecific antibodies through the finish line. But I would say, as you know, I was reviewing the literature and sort of looking through how people were discovering these bispecific antibodies, it became very clear to me that it's much more complicated, not only from a functional perspective, but also from a developability perspective to make these molecules. And I would say mostly when I look back at the discovery of emicizumab, which is Hemlibra, back in 2013 or 2014, there was a paper that was published by Chugai Pharmaceuticals where they had to do a multidimensional optimization. And they started with 40,000 antibodies, parent antibodies, that they had to combine to actually then get one molecule and eventually optimize that molecule to become a drug. And that was a very nice demonstration of why developability is so important for bispecific antibodies. So I think I've sort of carved a little niche for myself looking into developability of bispecific antibodies. I've, as you know, in the PEGS conference, I've taught the course on developability of bispecific antibodies for a couple of years now that has been well received. I actually just yesterday got an email from someone who took that course and has been doing some work at their company now, and that's really going well. So I feel like that's an area that's catching up. People are thinking more and more about it. And I'm fortunate to have worked on it and continue to working on it. So I'm very excited about focusing on developability of bispecific antibodies and really uncovering more issues and trying to solve them with this approach.
Mm-hmm. Right, to make the process more predictable. So you know earlier on what metrics you need to be looking at. What new antibody engineering techniques are you excited about?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think I'm excited about a lot of different things. We have seen a lot of progress in the last couple of years. So I would say, you know, within the last year, one thing that has really come to light is the computational protein engineering through the AlphaFold DeepMind platform, right? That's something that has now made possible us to look at or predict structures of different types of molecules, which will come really handy in antibody engineering. I think it will really help to streamline the humanization process, the affinity maturation process, and we'll be able to now predict with a lot more accuracy what residues or what positions are more important for interaction of any antibody with the antigen. So I'm very, very excited about how that new discovery is going to shape the antibody engineering community. I am also excited about other advances in our technologies. You know, we have had now a lot of new ways of discovering antibodies. Transgenic animals is becoming more and more common these days. We're now looking at B cell sorting as a technology. So of course, the Berkeley Lights platform helps you screen a lot of different antibodies at the same time to a much greater scale than was possible previously with you know, ELISAs or other technologies. So I'm very, very excited about that. There are new ways of making libraries now, right? I mean, Twist is doing a lot of work with writing the DNA code. They're able to synthesize longer DNA fragments that allow you to make better libraries that actually encode what you design. So I'm excited about that too. So I think the field is really growing and maturing in all different directions. And that's going to really speed up and advance the discovery of new antibodies and their engineering and optimization. All of this together sort of adds to and helps with the different facets of antibody engineering. So for example, if you were looking at developability and you found out that your antibody had a liability that you need to correct, by using these technologies, you'll be able to make some of these variants very, very quickly and look at them in a manner that would allow you to speed up the process. So I'm very excited about how this will complement discovery of new drugs and take that forward.
That's fantastic. So I'm going to combine two different thoughts then along that theme. What are scientists looking to improve in today's technologies? And also what part of the workflow needs to be revamped the most and made more efficient?
Yeah, so that's again a great question. So I think, in terms of what the scientists are looking to improve in today's technology, it's, I would say, a number of different things at different stages of the process. Of course, we always want to improve our antibody and protein production processes so we can make more antibodies with less of your culture. Then that would allow you to do a lot more assays than what you can do with current methods. Current methods are great, but we can always improve and make them better. So I think that's one area certainly that I'm looking forward to. I'm also looking forward to other high throughput ways of generating bispecific antibodies. Right now, that's a little bit limiting because you need to use all these pairing techniques. But if there are high throughput ways out there, that would help. There are already some ways that people can use to generate bispecific antibodies, at least in research. But I think overall, from a manufacturing perspective, we probably need better ways to produce those molecules, purify those molecules. So I think I would be really, really excited about that. And then on the point of developability, I would say that there are a lot of different assays that we do right now that are predictive, but some assays are more high throughput than others. And I think if we could make some of the low throughput assays also high throughput in a way that we could run the developability assessment in parallel instead of doing it serially, I think that would help a lot. So any technology that allows you to do more of these assessments with less material, at the same time improving our capability to generate a lot of material, I feel like at some point these two will meet each other and we'll be able to do a lot more with the material that we have, run a lot of studies in parallel, help speed up the process of bispecific antibody discovery and generation, and ultimately get a lot more antibodies and drugs to patients who need them the most.
Right. That would really help the workflow. So if there were a new tool today, what would you like it to be if you had access to a new tool?
Yeah. So like I said, I think, we have really good ways of measuring properties of antibodies. I would say biophysical properties are quite well served. I mean, the Unchained Lab platform helps you to look at different properties of the antibody at the same time. I guess if there was sort of a next generation there where you were able to do a lot of developability properties at the same time with much less material and give you an answer in days instead of weeks right now, that would really, really help the whole process. So I'm very excited to see what new tools are being developed. On the same theme, I think on the antibody discovery side, a lot of good work has been done by both Berkeley Lights and Abcellera in speeding up the sorting and B cell selection process. I think there, if we could make those processes such that you can also integrate a lot of cell-based assays in a high throughput manner, that will also help the field quite a bit. So I'm excited about tools for developability assessments and also for doing high throughput cell-based assays.
Well, it's been great to talk to you today, Namish. Namish is also hosting a virtual short course at PEGS Europe on the Monday, November 1st, on developability of bispecific antibodies. It runs 2 to 5 p.m. in Barcelona time. So, Namish, I'm looking forward to seeing you at that course. And thank you so much for your time. It's been great chatting with you.
Thank you, Christina, for having me. And I'm really excited to present the course once again. It's been a highly popular course in the past couple of years, and I'm excited to share it with the PEGS Europe community.
Well, thank you. Well, we're glad to have you back.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening to this episode of The Chain.
Thank you for joining us on The Chain. Tune in next episode for more conversations about science, research, and exploring the world of protein engineering.